The psalm that we're going to do responsively now is actually what Rob is going to talk about in just a minute. So Rob and that side of the church will read the odd numbers. So Rob, you're going to start. And I'm going to, with this side of the church, read the even numbers. So please remain seated as we say this together. It's very powerful and lovely.
I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me.
When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted.
I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint.
You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak.
I thought about the former days, the years of long ago.
I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked,
Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again?
Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time?
Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Well, do keep that the words of that psalm open in front of you, and let me just say a prayer for us all. Heavenly Father, you've heard us voice those questions at the end of that passage, and we pray that as we look at these words, we will now know you to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, those words that we've all just read together come from a very ancient poem in the Bible. And we don't know the exact circumstances that brought about the writing of this psalm. But it certainly reflects a cry from the heart after some devastating kind of loss. And I guess that is where many of us are this evening, brought together as we are by the experience of loss and grief. Much of what is expressed in this psalm will have been our experience and will have been our thoughts and puts into words, perhaps, feelings that we've had over the past year. And those words, they begin, and the first verse, in distress and helplessness. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. And in that situation, expressing those common feelings in the face of a loved one, the writer of the psalm tells us that he is untiring day and night, reaching out to God and yet finding no comfort. And actually, as you've arrived this morning, this evening, and I've spoken to some of you, I know some of you in recent weeks have described some of that in your own experience, that sense of sitting up through the night, watching, waiting, perhaps praying through the long stretches of the small hours. Some of you sitting upright in a chair, lacking comfort in body and soul, and unable to find sleep. Even when overtired, still sleep sometimes escapes us, and we're unable to find the words to say, either to God or to those around. What is expressed in this psalm very much captures what I know a number of you have expressed to me. But then it goes on from expressing that to describing thinking back and remembering the good times. And I know too that has been part of some of your experience. Remembering former days when death and sickness never crossed our minds as we enjoyed life together without a care in the world such happy times, talking about songs that you sung together. This psalm describes all such experiences that come our way through the process of bereavement. And then in those last three verses, verses 7, 8, and 9, the writer lays bare his soul before God, his doubts, the questions, expressing a sense that if this is what's going on in my life, then maybe God doesn't care. Has he rejected me? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Is he even angry with me? Is he withholding his compassion? Surely I wouldn't be in this situation if God really cared for me, loved me, and was compassionate. Well, no doubt those or similar thoughts will have crossed our minds through our experience of bereavement, just as they did for the writer of this psalm some 3,000 years ago. And so what is the answer to those very real and painful questions? Where does he turn? Well, we only read half of this psalm, and in the very next verse, he writes, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal." And in the rest of this psalm, it's called Psalm 77 from our Bibles. In the rest of the psalm, he recounts to himself all the loving, caring, and compassionate saving acts of God through history. A catalogue that leads to the conclusion that because God is God, he can't have changed. So however I'm feeling at the moment, whatever I'm going through, however raw things are, I can know with confidence that it isn't because God has shut his ears or forgotten me or abandoned me or even turned against me. And we, as we gather this evening, have great benefit over the writer of this psalm. You see, when God seemed distant to him, he could only look back and hope that God might not have changed. But we have a huge advantage. When we feel God is distant, we can remember that in Jesus Christ, God himself shared our experience, entered our humanity, and put himself in exactly the kind of situation that has brought us and gathered us here this evening. Listen to what one of his earliest followers wrote about him. "Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For this reason, Jesus had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. Because he himself suffered, he is able to help those who are suffering." Now that passage tells us that in Jesus, God became exactly as we are and experienced every kind of situation of life and bereavement that we experience. He entered into the very depths of our suffering, even to the point, as he faced his own death, of feeling abandoned by God. Jesus himself cried out on the cross of crucifixion, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knew what it was like to feel cut off from God. Jesus fully experienced what it was for God to feel distant, so that we might be saved from that reality. He embraced the blackness of the dark night of the soul, such that however we might feel, the reality of that abandonment might never be ours. So we can, in our bereavement, as the doubts and the questions arise, and when God feels distant, we can ask those questions in verses 7 to 9, because they will be how we are feeling in our hearts. And then look to Jesus and say, no, God hasn't forgotten. He hasn't ceased to love. He hasn't abandoned me. He's not angry with me. He hasn't rejected me. His love has not failed. Rather, God's favor is on us. His love is unfailing. He keeps his promise. He remembers mercy, and he offers us compassion. And so I'd like to invite you just for a few minutes just to perhaps think on those words that are in that psalm, and perhaps to lift your eyes to the Lord Jesus and to ask him to make real in our hearts his presence, his comfort, and his hope. And while we do so, the choir are going to be singing a short little item, the words of which are the words which are on the bottom right of the service sheet as you have it open in front of you. Those words from Isaiah 43, where God tells us not to be afraid because he is with us. So let's sit quietly and think on those things. The words of our second reading are on the sheet there, taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And just to share a few brief thoughts on those words before we pray and come to the conclusion of our service. These words, too, were written to a community that had lost everything. Their city had been conquered, their nation taken captive, their possessions and landmarks destroyed. Their very reason for continuing to live have been called into question. And the few verses that I've just read are but a tiny fragment of a lengthy message of comfort which the Lord wanted to bring to those people who had suffered so much. That longer passage begins with these words, comfort, comfort my people. And sitting where you are, that may seem empty words, a vain promise. But having said those words, comfort, comfort my people, the Lord goes on to bring a message of good news, describing how all creation and all nations and everything is but in the palm of his hand, and that he has a good purpose to bring salvation and blessing that nothing and no one can resist, and that death cannot defeat. And it is in that context that we come to these few verses here, that the Lord says, do not fear, do not fear. I have redeemed you, called you by name. Twice further on, he reminds them that he loves them. And how he shows that is not just simply to, as it were, magic away all trouble from our lives, but rather to be with us, caring for us, and in the very midst of our trouble. Did you notice that when I read it three times he says, when you pass through the waters, when the rivers, when the flames, these things will happen. Grief, bereavement will come to us. But in each case, I will be with you. They will not overwhelm you. They will not consume you. And again, it is Jesus who fleshes out for us exactly how that can be and how we can know that in our daily lives. In John's Gospel, Jesus says the following words, describing himself as a good shepherd, the one who loves, who is compassionate, and knows us. And Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Nothing, not even death, can snatch those out of Jesus' hands, who he knows by name, who he has called, and who follow him. He knows them intimately, calls them by name, holds them in his hand, protects them for the good as the good shepherd, and keeps them for eternal life. And Jesus, as God, is mighty to save. Nothing can thwart or overcome his purposes for those who trust in him." And so as we go forwards from this evening, these words are of enormous comfort. They aren't just a vain promise. They give us strength. They give us hope for all who entrust themselves to the Lord Jesus. And I guess that's one of the questions we have to ask of ourselves, is whether we have entrusted ourselves and entrusted our loved ones into the hands of the Lord Jesus. Because it is in doing so that we can face the future with confidence, not forgetting our sorrow, not pretending it doesn't exist, but as we walk through those times of trouble, the rivers, the waters, the flames, walking hand by hand with the Lord Jesus, who says he will be with us and they will not overcome us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you that he gives visible and historic and present expression to all your very great and precious promises to be with us, and that nothing can overcome us. Amen.